WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. As unionized auto workers broaden their week-old strike against two of the big three Detroit car makers, they are about to get some very high-profile support.
President Biden announced plans to join the picket line and stand in solidarity with striking auto workers next week. The president's show of support comes as the union is expanding its historic strike. The growing labor dispute now includes an additional 38 General Motors and Stellantis parts distribution centers across some 20 states.
Correspondent Michael George. Meantime, in Hollywood, after a third straight day of talks with major studios, some hope for an end soon to a writer's strike that has crippled showbiz production since May. Writers Guild member Al Septian.
What I hope is that we get a fair contract. We've been out here a long time. We don't want to fold for a less than fair and good contract for the writers.
The Mid-Atlantic appears to be in for a very wet weekend as Shakespearean tropical storm Ophelia settles in over the region.
This is not a large storm, but take it serious. There's still a chance for some localized flooding.
Pender County Emergency Management Director Tommy Batson says at this point, all he and his team can do is continue to monitor the storm and be ready to go at all times. He is expecting the county to see a couple of inches in rainfall, which may lead to some minor flooded streets and homes without power.
WWAY-TV's Emily Andrews in Pender County, North Carolina. He is one of the most powerful members of the U.S. Senate, New Jersey Democrat Robert Menendez, and he is now under criminal indictment for a second time. Christine Sloan of CBS New York.
Senator Menendez in a statement calling the indictment a smear campaign, saying the government's misrepresenting congressional work and his wife's longstanding friendships. The son of Cuban immigrants adding in a statement, quote, for years, forces behind the scenes have repeatedly attempted to silence my voice and dig my political grave. Even worse, they see me as a political obstacle in the way of their broader political agenda.
An earlier criminal case against Senator Menendez ended in mistrial. New figures show more than 180,000 arrests along the U.S.-Mexican border last month, putting new pressure not only along the southwest, but cities far away. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is in El Paso.
When you talk to some of the NGOs and some of the faith-based organizations and even the counties and cities here, based on the amount of people that they're trying to house and feed, what they really feel is that the rest of the country should maybe help out here, not just New York, where there's been a big debate about housing migrants.
In baseball, the Minnesota Twins clinched the AL Central title with an 8-6 win over L.A. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're
hey man, your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Good afternoon, everybody. If I sound different, it's because I'm not Mike Crute. I am Pete Schwabe, filling in for Dom and Crute, giving them a little well-deserved break on this Friday afternoon, sort of a summer afternoon, technically fall, but we don't have to acknowledge that just yet. It's a beautiful day outside, but I am in for Dom and Crute today. They will be back on Monday, and like I said, earning some well-deserved time off. We're going to do a little bit of a shift today, too. My background is in show business. I'm not a devil. I'm not even an advocate for anything. I advocate nothing, which should put everyone at ease and encourage you to join in the show at some point today. We're going to be talking entertainment today, for the most part. We're going to be talking movies, TV, streaming. See, my goal here today, folks, is I know you don't know me very well. I want you to stay with me. I want you to listen. I want you to contribute. And by the end of this show, I'm hoping you all will have something you can watch tonight or this weekend. I want you to leave here with some great ideas for movies, TV, and I'd like to hear what you're watching too. I'm always looking for something. My biggest thing is I cannot stand scrolling for something to watch. You log into Roku or your smart TV. You check Hulu, you check Netflix, you check HBO, Apple TV. You spend an hour looking for something to watch. It's ridiculous. So I would like to just jump in and let's help each other out here. Let's have a nice exchange of what we're watching and we can all walk away with something here that we can look forward to. So like I said, my name is Pete Schwabe. I will also have some outstanding guests today. First of all, Nate Wegehout is the producer today. Nate, say hello.
Hello, hello. How are we doing today, Pete?
We're doing great. You and I both have, I will say, when I met you, Nate, mm-hmm. your last name, Wegehout, mm-hmm. loved it. Because I think I told you that makes Schwabe sound like Smith. Because people have always messed up my name, but I can't even imagine the trauma you've been through in your life with that last name.
I have heard every single variation that you can think of for my last name. And in fact, you say trauma. I had a middle school basketball coach. You know what he would call me? This is the coach. You call me Wedgie. Call me, hey, Wedgie, come here. So, you know what? You know what? You can call me whatever you want. Just please don't call me Wedgie anymore.
I got
enough of that in middle school.
That's horrible. That's just encouraging kids to go there, you know? Or even an atomic wedge. You don't need that. I'm glad that's in your past. Put that in the rearview, Nate.
Thank you, Pete.
With me. We have some great guests today. I'm going to welcome Mike Clemens, will be up in just a few minutes to talk some Packers. I consider personally sports to be entertainment. I don't know about you guys. It's all showbiz to me. So we're going to talk a little sports with Mike, and we'll talk Packers. Mike's got the inside scoop. He is our Packers reporter. After Mike, we are going to welcome a gentleman who I have written with and sold some movies with. His name is Greg Liana. He will be joining us. Greg started the Meet the Parents franchise. He shot a little indie film. It's up on YouTube now. We'll tell you how to get there. He's a great interview. He'll be here at 4, a little bit after the bottom of the hour. Rob Thomas from the Capital Times, he's the features editor. He's going to join us in the second hour, and we'll have a special guest too to promote some live theater from the area. It's going to be a great show, and we're going to talk movies. Like I said, summer is, I guess, officially over, but if you want to call in, tell us what you watched this summer. I want to hear what you saw at the theater. I want to hear what you streamed. We can have an open conversation here. Did you watch Barbenheimer? Did you see either one of those two? I'll share with you guys what I saw and, give a brief synopsis, but, I want to hear what you guys are watching. So always feel free to call. Nate, can we give the number out? Can we share the number? Do they know the number?
Yes, of course. It's 844-967-2789. Give us a call. I'll be over here. I'll be lightly screening your calls as you come in. But if you have anything you want to say about movies today, doing things a little bit different on the Devils while the regular Devils are out in the way. So that's 844-967-2789.
If you're driving, folks, I'm sorry about that phone number. We need a better phone number. That's the phone number they give you when they want people to forget your phone number. But hopefully people have it memorized right now because they listen to Dom and Cruz. So that's good. I want to reiterate, I am not a devil. I am not an advocate. I do not, I'm not filling anybody's shoes here. Those are four huge shoes to fill. So we're just kind of holding down the fort here. So, and here's another thing, Nate, what I want to do is people, since they're used to politics, in this couple hour slot here, we can have, if you want to call in and tell us your favorite political movies, we can do that too. My personal favorite is, I'm blanking. I love A Few Good Men. I don't know if you call that a political movie.
I would consider it a political movie.
It's kind of political. All the President's Men. Love it. I just watched it about 6 weeks ago. I don't know what it is about summer that makes me want to watch that movie, but I love the meeting in parking garages and the source you can't reveal and all the threat. It's kind of a thriller too. I love that genre. So do you have a favorite political movie, Nate?
I do. And again, I think it's sort of like yours. I would call it a political movie. It's The Parallax View. It's with Warren Beatty, back from the 70s, a lot of intrigue, a lot of, journalistic investigation into shady back government deals and things like that.
Yeah.
It feels very 70s because it's all about political assassinations and things like that, which a lot of that, I mean, that part, I suppose, doesn't really ring true today. We don't, thankfully, don't have a lot of political assassinations anymore, but you know, that was coming off of both the Kennedys there and
Martin Luther King. Yeah.
So but it holds up very well, in my opinion.
That's good to know. I haven't seen that in about 30 years. It had kind of a creepy element too. It's very, the thriller part was really brought out in that. I remember as a kid seeing that and just being like, oh my gosh, I'm scared to death. You know,
there's that one scene. It's sort of in like the beginning of the final third of the movie where like they're showing like the video, sort of brainwashing thing of the main character Warren Beatty is sit down in a chair and a screen is put up in front of him and it says love and it has like a bunch of pictures of things that would remind you of love and family, mother, father. Then it gets into war, violence, murder, things like that. Sort of the brainwashing of your mind like that. That's right. One of my favorite scenes.
That's a great scene. It's a great movie. I'll have to revisit that one. Another one politically I like is Election. I know it's a comedy. My background is comedy, so I tend to steer more towards the comedies. But Election is just a phenomenon. It's about a student election. Matthew Broderick is in it. Reese Witherspoon, Chris Klein. Great film. Really funny. Kind of dark, but a very good political movie, too. Even though it's at the high school level, it's a student council election. And Reese Witherspoon is hilarious. So call us, give us a call if you want. Let us know your favorite political movie. It's 844-967-2789, 844 967-2789. You can tell us your political movie, and party affiliation does not matter. Most of these movies are pretty bipartisan, but tell us your favorite political movie. And if you want to talk a little summer box office, that's fine too. Like I said, we're just on the heels of the summer box office. I'll tell you what I saw. I did see Barbenheimer. I saw Barbie. I saw Oppenheimer. I liked Barbie. I didn't love Barbie. I don't think the movie was as good as the trailer, and that's not that uncommon, but I hate when I see a trailer and it makes me want to run to the theater and then I'm let down. And it's not really a fair fight because the trailer's like 2 minutes long. The movie's 2 hours long, but I did like Barbie. I liked Oppenheimer, kind of the same deal. It was so loud and so long. I went to see it in July. I got out a week ago, Tuesday. This thing was like the longest movie ever.
You just explained why I haven't seen it yet. I don't want to see a 3 hour plus movie anymore.
You got to carve out so much time. It's insane.
90 minutes. Keep it at 90 minutes. Yeah. That's perfect. It's not too long.
Or at least under 2 hours. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's Christopher Nolan, so I went to see it with my son. I did see Equalizer 3. I loved both the first Equalizers. Denzel Washington loved it. This one was good. It had a bit of a Roadhouse element to it, though. But it was in Italy, and it was a beautiful small town, but it was great. So, actually, we have a caller. Let's go to let's see what Andrew from Detroit has to say. How's it going, Andrew?
Pretty good. Good job, guys, with this show. Not a movie, but a television series is Scandal. I've watched Scandal from beginning to end like 3 times, and I was always amazed with the writing, that the subplot or back plot was most of the time more interesting than the episode plot.
That's just a sign of great writing, I think. And I agree, Andrew. I've only seen a couple episodes of that, but it's so well done. Tony Goldwyn's great. Kerry Washington is great. So you're saying you watched the whole series 3 times?
3 times. It's that good. Yeah, I had to go back and catch all the little this and the little that I missed the first and second time through. It's just exciting, just as exciting when you watch it again. It's great. It's great.
What other TV do you watch, Andrew? What else are you watching?
I've ever seen.
Excuse me? Can you repeat? Go ahead.
Some of the best television writing I've ever seen.
That's outstanding. What else are you watching right now, Andrew?
You know, I'm not finding a lot of political movie or television series that give me that kind of excitement. Again, with the writer's strike going on and everything, I'm hoping there are some genius minds out there that when they finally come back, there'll be some great entertainment. They've got it in them, so I'm just waiting for it.
I think it might be time to give Scandal a fourth try there, Andrew. Thanks so much for the call, buddy. Have a great day.
And we do have a couple of texts coming through people's favorite political movies or TV shows. We have Madison Plummer saying Don't Look Up, both funny and terrifying. We have another one that says Babylon 5 is the best political drama. And along that line, I would say Star Trek. Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek.
I love Star Trek. It's very political.
Yeah, it is political.
And then finally, Crudy texting in, actually, and he's saying The Sopranos, the Sen Robert Mendez story.
I just rewatched Sopranos. I finished it a week ago.
Can I say something?
Crudy, he's supposed to be taking the day off, and he's texting us. I love it. Yeah,
I've never seen The Sopranos.
Oh, you got to watch it. We'll talk more about it. We've got Mike Clemens coming up next, right?
We do.
All right, so get your movies ready, folks. Summer block, whatever you want to talk about. We're going to play a game called Guess the Scene later, too. So stay with us, folks. Thanks so much.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a cloudy sky, a few showers and storms around, and a low in the mid-60s. More clouds for the weekend, the wind picking up, scattered showers and storms. Upper 70s for the high Saturday, around 70 Sunday. At times, we'll see wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Currently, it's 66.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Pete Schwabe, and for Dom and Crute, the Devils are taking a day off, a well-earned day off. I'm Pete Schwabe with Civic Media here. We are talking movies today. Badger football coming up, too, at 6 o'clock, turning to sports a bit here. We are going to welcome into the show our Packers reporter. You know him and you love him, Mike Clemens. Mike, how are you?
Good, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad you could be with us today. There's something about Friday in the fall where all I want to do is talk about football. So it's so great to have you. How are things looking for this weekend? Can you give us a quick preview of the game this weekend?
We had the Packers had their final practice today, and you've been trying to keep an eye on to see if Jordan Love can be at full strength in terms of, you know, the weapons around him. And Christian Watson has not been there yet. He suffered a hamstring injury toward the last week at camp. He's getting closer and closer. Aaron Jones had a big game in the season opener in Chicago against the Bears, and you saw him on a 35-yard touchdown pass go into the end zone there at Soldier Field and suddenly grabbed the back of his, behind his knee, yeah, on his left leg, and he said he tweaked it. He says, I know what a hamstring tear is. This is just a bite. But whatever, you know, he missed the game in Atlanta. They probably could have really used him there. So, you know, they're limited in practice. I thought it was a good question. We just asked LaFleur about an hour and a half ago in his final press conference of the week was, you know, do you play Christian Watson or Aaron Jones on Sunday against the Saints when next Thursday night you're going to be back here at Lambeau Field against a tough divisional opponent in the Detroit Lions? And LaFleur dismissed that. Like, you know what? No, we got to win home games. We got to win whoever we're playing. And if those players are ready to go, we base it on that. We don't do any of this, you know. Well, maybe we should let him rest another four more days when we really need him against the Lions. So, and then he was asked about David Bakhtiari, and he says, you'll have to wait till the game day, because he's so done with the questions after 2.5 years about David Bakhtiari and his poor left knee that he suffered a torn ACL with. So that's what the update in terms of the injuries.
Okay, so has David Bakhtiari always been this outspoken? He is not afraid to speak up the last few months, whether it's turf or politics or whatever. I never realized he was that outspoken before.
As a matter of fact, when David started in Green Bay like 11 years ago, he was a fourth-round pick out of a losing program in Colorado, and they were doing one-on-ones in training camp, and Clay Matthews could not get around this kid, could not get around him. And about the third rep he did, he was so frustrated, Clay took his helmet and pulled his chin strap on and threw his helmet down in frustration. And David Bakhtiari has started left tackle ever since then. And after about a year or so, you know, because he was such a good player, and your starting left tackle, an important position on a, you know, the blind side guy on a football team, for some reason you would go to him, just ask him questions, and his answers would be like, you know, I don't know, what do you think? And that kind of, he was just like playing with you, but it was getting to be a waste of your time. And I thought, I went to the ESPN reporter and said, is that just me? Or he goes, no, he said, me, I'm done with him. And we didn't talk to him for about a year because it was a waste of time. Until finally he started asking the PR staff, hey, how come these guys won't talk to me anymore? Fast forward, you know, it was a show that I was a part of where I actually booked him, and he was on our show every week. And he turned out to be he's a smart, articulate kid who actually took us aside one day and said, you know what, I'm a little ADD, you know, and it's kind of hard for me to communicate that way. Well, now he's articulate. He's always been a smart kid, fast processor. And he's, you know, he's banked a lot of money from the NFL. So I think he's at a point where he feels that if he's got something to say, he can say it now. And the other thing that I found so interesting, we talked to him for a half hour Wednesday, Pete, about this situation that popped up with him missing the game in the Falcons. And he said, he admitted, you know something? You know why I'm still doing this? Because I'm still doing it better than anybody else. They can line up anybody, outside linebacker, pass rusher against me, and I'm still beating these guys on one leg. And that's what's going on. His technique and his footwork has always been amazing. And so besides making $23 million this year off the salary cap, he is still one of the very best. His technique is down to a martial art, down to a science, and you can't get him. You can't. It's so hard to beat, and he just thinks it's pretty funny he can still pull this off despite the inflammation, the draining of fluids, and frankly, what was most revealing, he's going through a lot of pain with this thing. It's more than just inflammation and swelling. He's in excruciating pain, and that's what he's having to deal with to try and get another year or two in the NFL.
I love that you said he was a fourth-round pick from a bad program. It just goes to show you, even general managers in the NFL, they're all smarter than me or all smarter than you maybe, but like even fantasy football, you're right half the time. You're right about as much as these general managers are sometimes. You never know where a great player is going to come from.
Or what school they're going to come from, or what school they're going to come from, too.
Or even division. Day, yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, they're all great athletes, and then you've got to figure out if, in fact, how hard they're going to work once they get their opportunity in the NFL.
That's a great point. Should the Packers be scared of the Lions? They seem like they came out guns blazing, and then all of a sudden Dan Campbell, people are like, you love his energy, but questionable calls. What do you think?
No. I think the Lions are a very physical team and highly motivated and dangerous. And so far, Dan Campbell is 4-0 against Green Bay.
Yeah, I think he's great for the NFL. You love his energy. I just feel like he at some point, and I have no idea what I'm talking about, but that he'll be his own worst enemy or go for it on 4th-and-14 from his own 2 or something like that. I don't know. And tell us, Mike, what's going on with the Bears? Hall's a mess right now, isn't it? Are there anyone that the Packers should be scared of other than the Lions?
Yeah, the defensive coordinator resigns, a qualified NFL guy. There was reports that the FBI was going through Hallis Hall. The NFL Network said, well, that's not necessarily the case. Maybe there was some sort of an internal private investigation going on. And then you got Justin Fields questioning his coaching. I'll tell you what, when the Packers beat them and the way they beat them week one, after 30 years of waiting for Favre and Rodgers to move on, it gutted the emotions of that place. And the wheels have come off in Chicago right now.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. Thanks a lot, Mike. We got to let you go. Thanks so much, as always. Greg Kliena is coming up next, folks. Stay with us.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. The United Auto Workers are not expanding their strike against Ford, but they have walked out at dozens more plants run by GM and the parent company of Chrysler.
They need to give us what we need to survive.
Top-tier management
Their pay has multiplied seven times.
Lots of wet weather ahead from the Carolinas north along the East Coast.
Some of the estimated rainfall totals here, especially around the Delmarva, working through eastern Virginia, Richmond, Williamsburg, Virginia Beach, and eastern North Carolina could see rainfall totals as high as a half foot.
Weather Channel forecaster Chris Bruin, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, now under criminal indictment, New Jersey Democrat Robert Menendez, accused of accepting bribes said to be worth hundreds of thousands.
Being a public servant means that you run for office or you're appointed in order to make decisions to benefit your constituents, not to make decisions that benefit yourself.
CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm
if you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
I've got the world on a string.
Welcome back to the devil's advocate. I am Pete Schwabe, sitting in for Dom and Crute. I'm not a devil, nor am I an advocate. But I am filling in today. They are taking a well-earned break. Hey, if you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app yet, you really should. It's a very easy-to-use app. You can get all of our stations all across the state. Today we're broadcasting from beautiful WGBW in Green Bay, 97.9 and 1590 AM. But the app has all of our stations, and you can catch the Badger game right after the show tonight at 6 o'clock, preferably on WRJN. Badger football coming up at 6. We have Rob Thomas in the second hour, who's going to be talking movies and also tell us what we should be watching. We are waiting to get a hold of our next guest. He is the creator of Meet the Parents, the franchise, really. He shot an independent film, and it's on YouTube. You can watch it. Same title. And it's outstanding. And he sort of started the whole thing with Meet the Parents from an indie film, wrote it, directed it, starred in it, and then it went on, sold it to Universal, and it went on to become the highest, I believe, the highest grossing live action film still there is. But, and he is my sometime writing partner and very good friend from my stand-up comedy days. So please welcome to the show, Greg Liana. Greg, how are you?
Hello.
How's it going?
Hey, Pete. Long time. Well, not that long. Going great.
Not that long, but I know you like to sleep in, but you're in Chicago, so I assume you've been up for a while now. Is that correct?
Well, I'm actually staying at my sister's with the dog from hell who barks any time anyone comes within a mile of the house. So I was,
we might want to talk to him and find out what he's watching. Greg, thanks for being with us today. I want to talk about Meet the Parents, but just a little background. Greg and I have known each other forever since our stand-up days in Chicago. He started before me. He's much older than me. But we had a lot of fun writing together. We sold some scripts, only one of which got made, called A Guy Thing. We can talk about that later too. But first, I want to ask you, tell us about, you have two other films coming out. Let's talk about, you have The Puppy Love coming out on Freevee, and then another film called The Road Dog, both canine related. Tell us about them, please.
Yeah, it's coincidence. The dog related, but Puppy Love is it's a cute rom-com, and some you write for love and some you write for money. That was a money, and it didn't help that three other writers got on it after we sold the original script.
Oh, so really?
That's the kind of thing that I am hoping to move back into the indie film world, just for that reason, because nobody rewrites it and you get to make the film that you envisioned, you know?
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah. You know, we used to talk about this all the time. What drove me crazy was they buy a script, you do your two rewrites, they bring in other writers. And in our case with A Guy Thing, they brought in two really solid TV writers who have won Emmys, but you mix, especially in comedy, I think you mix sensibilities and there's just a disconnect there and it doesn't work.
I have a lot to say about that Guy Thing, because Guy Thing was, as you remember, a perfect script. The script that sold was just tight and right out of the gate. It was funny and it had a great ending, and it was a great, great script. And that's probably why it sold and got made. But I was embarrassed by the film. I remember being at the previews just cringing at what they did to it.
Right.
And we got kind of an education of how a script gets ruined. Because I don't know if you remember this, but here's how I remember it. The first draft, sold, and they're like, this script is in great shape.
Yeah.
Just take a look at this ending. The ending's a little dark, but the script's great. Then we change the ending, Then they go, so look at some of the dialogue here in the middle. Maybe you can punch it up a little bit. And maybe this is shame. Then you do that. I think they get sick of it. They read it too many times and they bring in then other writers come in and they audition on that. Well, we can make it wacky, like Meet the Parents or like whatever,
Right.
And then the actors come in and they have ideas. I remember Julie Stiles wanted a female writer to add some of her ideas. And, and by the time it comes out, it's a hodgepodge.
Yeah. I remember Julia Stiles told us she wanted her character to work odd jobs. It's like, well, okay. I don't really see how that's pertinent to the story, but, and I love the idea that they said something about Meet the Parents too, Greg, after we were let go. And it's like, wait a minute. You just had the guy who created Meet the Parents. And you just let us go.
Right,
so what are you doing? So, hey,
but
talk a little bit about,
go
ahead. Yeah, no, for sure. It's just too many cooks.
Yeah. Remember David Ladd at one point, he's in the room going, what if instead he's a football player? And the guy was
instead
a cop in our script. Do you remember that? It was like, that's a whole different script, but okay.
He wanted that character to be on the Chicago Bears and he wanted the main character to have to get him to a game. And we're like, wait a minute. Okay. That sounds like a movie, like Get Me to the Greek, but
right.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
and I love David, but
Yeah. So, hey, yeah, Greg, tell us a little bit about the road. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's just, that's what happens when you sell a strip to Hollywood. They do what right. they want to it. You know, sometimes it works out. Most of the time it doesn't.
Exactly. And I know you and I know we're kind of talking inside here, but I don't mind giving people some insight here. When you sell a script, one time, one producer told us, I don't think writers should direct their own stuff. And especially in comedy, mm-hmm. and you and I, probably to our detriment, pointed out to him, tactfully, I thought, that most successful comedies are directed. Yeah. There's either a writer-director or there's a director who works well with a writer and they have a track record. So I agree. You get too many sensibilities. Right. But so you have another film. I know you're really proud of this one, The Road Dog. Tell us a little bit about The Road Dog. I understand you have a guy who just has a couple lines who played a comedy club owner who really jumped off the screen.
Right. Right. Well, it stars Pete Schwab. I don't know if you've heard of him, but no, it's a script that I love, and we were able to make the movie that we wrote. You know what I mean? And yeah. budget wise, we had to cut some stuff that we couldn't afford to do. But I would rather, and I've said this to you many times, I would rather make small films that I'm really proud of than sell a strip to Hollywood and have it ruined.
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, as long as I can make a living, you know, hopefully, but I mean, I would rather have work that, and I look back on my career and the stuff that I had total control over. I know this probably sounds conceited, but it's the absolute truth, is the stuff that turned out well, you know, My Meet right. the Parents, the play that I did in LA that, you know, and some of these short films. But whenever I don't have the say, I'm embarrassed by it.
Right. Because when it's one vision, it at least works. You might not love the film but it's a consistency, I guess.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit, the audience, a little bit about Meet the Parents. It was a great experience for you, yet a frustrating one. And certainly tell us where we can see your Meet the Parents, the much darker, much more indie one, which in my opinion is even funnier than the original. I've gotten crazy looks for saying that, but it is true.
Well, Louis C.K. just said that on a podcast somebody sent me. He was talking about Meet the Parents. He goes, someone sent me a video. Emo Phillips sent me, you know, and he said it was funnier than the remake. But okay, I'll tell him to Meet this Parents story in brief. I did a short film. I was doing stand-up comedy at the time, and I did a short film called The Vase, which was about a guy who meets his girlfriend's parents and he breaks their prize vase. And I became friends with Emo Phillips, who was a very well-known comedian at the time. And he happened to have seen this short on a TV show in Chicago called Image Union on PBS. I think it's still on even, where they show short films. And he said he saw it, you know, and he liked this short I did. And I said, well, I have this idea for turning into a feature, you know, and he said, well, why don't you write that? And if I like it, I'll put money into it. So I wrote it with a girl named Mary Ruth Clark. And we just, you know, wrote this script and he liked it and he funded it. It was very low budget. And it's, you know, it was Meet the Parents. And I played Greg and it did very well. It got played at the Music Box Theater in Chicago and got rave reviews. And for a time it was going to be released by National Lampoon, but that ended up falling through because it was too low budget. We did it for $30,000 initially, which
was
a lot of money in life, but not in a movie. so basically it got seen by Steven Soderbergh, who called me up and said, you know, I saw your film. This should be a studio film because everyone in the world can relate to this. So he brought it into Universal and he was going to direct and I sold it. So we had tried to get distribution and we couldn't, even though we got rave reviews. There wasn't the film festival route there is now. There's so many other places. If I made that today, there'd be a whole bunch of fests we could be in, you know, but
right.
So he brought it into Universal and they remade it. And that would all be great if they would let me show mine, but they still technically own the rights to it and they will not let me show mine.
I thought yours was on YouTube.
It is on YouTube. It was silenced. but it's so it's on YouTube unannounced. But there are some people who have the link.
I just let the cat out of the bag. Sorry. Go to YouTube fast, folks, if you want to watch Greg's Meet the Parents.
Please, sir. But it's if you do some digging on the internet, it can be found. I've been told.
Okay, I really encourage people. I really encourage people to see it. Yeah. Greg's is, like I said, darker, funnier, very much low budget, but you really feel like you're sucked into the world. I think more like Ben Stiller's great, you know, Robert De Niro's great, but you're always aware you're watching a movie. But some of these indie films, especially your Meet the Parents, you just feel like you're really in that world. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, it has more of a reality to it, I think.
Okay, you know, so Greg, I want to ask. Go ahead.
I was just saying, there is a book coming out, which I did not write, but by a very talented Chicago writer named Laura Enright, and it's the Meet the Parents story from the beginning all the way to the, you know, the remake came out. But it's coming out in, I think, December, Bear Manor Press. So I was interviewed extensively for it. Yeah.
I'm sure you held your tongue and didn't say anything that was negative.
Oh, no, I was. She was very hard on this writer named, I won't even say his name. You know who it is.
I know who it is, yeah.
Who did the rewrite. Yeah, but she caught him in a lie, actually. He's not going to be happy about this. So.
Well, it's on her, though. That's great. And I'm glad that you're getting your side of it out, because that's great. And I want to tell one of the best lines you've ever said, in my opinion. And then I want to ask you what you're watching before we let you go. Greg and I sold a script called Dreamgirl to Warner Brothers, but before it sold, we were having trouble getting people to buy it. So there was one scene in the film. Well, the premise is the biggest movie star, let's say Julia Roberts, falls in love with like a guy that manages a Steak and Shake in Ohio. Think like Jack Black. And he helps her change a tire in the middle of the night.
Yeah. In the middle, no one sees them together.
Right. That's the whole joke of the movie, is no one believes him, but she is in love with him and stalking him. So some studio executives said, "We don't think America will be able to relate to being stalked by a famous movie star." To which Greg said, "So what? I liked Gladiator, and I never avenged my family in old Rome."
Did I say
that? You did say that. All right. So Greg, this whole, we only have like a minute. Hey, can you stick around for a couple minutes?
Sure.
Okay. I want to ask you what we're trying to do today, Greg. I'm filling in for Dom and Kruth, the Devil's Advocates. The show is usually political, but I'm trying to get people to watch stuff. I want to find out what people are watching. I want to hear what you're watching. So during the break, maybe you could take a couple minutes and just think about a referral you can give people, the audience, like what we can stream, or, you know, what we can see in the theater. So think about that, and we'll come back if you don't mind. I appreciate you sticking around. It's Pete Schwab. Okay. I'm filling in for the Devil's Advocates. Dom and Kruth are taking a well-earned break. We've got Badger football coming up at 6 o'clock. And in the second hour, Capital Times features editor and entertainment critic Rob Thomas will be joining us. But right now, we've got Greg Liana. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a cloudy sky, a few showers and storms around, and a low in the mid-60s. More clouds for the weekend, the wind picking up, scattered showers and storms. Upper 70s for the high Saturday, around 70 Sunday. At times, we'll see wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Currently, it's 66.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
I'm so happy 'cause today. Welcome back, folks. Peach Wabba sitting in today for Dom and Crute and the Devil's Advocates. Hey, if you haven't checked out the morning show here at WGBW or on the Civic Media app, it's Mino and the Mayor. If you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app, highly recommend it. Very easy to use, user-friendly, great shows, and you can access all the stations under the Civic Media umbrella. Badger football coming up at 6 o'clock, and Rob Thomas from the Capital Times coming up at 5:30, just after 5:30. Right now, we are talking to Greg Liena. He is the founder or the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. He's got a couple of films just being released, in the process of being released. One is Puppy Love, which you can see on Freevee, and the other is The Road Dog. And Greg, thanks for sticking around for another segment. You tell us where we can see The Road Dog.
The Road Dog is coming out on streaming October 6th. And it'll be on all these platforms: DirecTV, Apple TV, Amazon, Cox, Comcast, Vudu, Hoopla, Sling, YouTube. So it's out there. It's called The Road Dog, starring Doug Stanhope, who is a brilliant actor. I don't know if you are aware of that. He's a great comedian, but he's really a great, great actor.
He is.
And
I think,
go ahead.
No, he underplayed a lot of stuff. I was very impressed. I had no idea what it was going to be like with him acting. But when I got there to do my scene, it was fun getting to yell at him in my scene as the comedy club owner. But Doug was great. He was really fun. So, yeah, I did. It's great.
Did
I loved it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful actor. I mean, he's the kind of actor, as a director, I didn't have to do anything. He was great from the first read through, the first, you know, rehearsal. He was great every take. And I've directed Academy Award winning actors, and he was as good as Kathy Bates to me or any of these people.
Yeah, and you got to direct Danny DeVito too. How cool was that?
Yes, he was great.
So Greg, okay, so tell us, that's another film of Greg's you can check out called Relative Strangers. Danny DeVito, Kathy Bates. Greg was nice enough to throw me a bone on that one too. And I played a meat delivery guy, which I think I knocked out of the park. But so Greg, what are you watching? What is a guy like Greg Liena? You've created these great movies. You've been in show business your whole adult life, stand up. What are you watching? What should people be watching right now? Either streaming, in the theaters, go.
You know, I've been so busy with this film. I recently binged Louie, which I think is one of the great TV shows of all time, if you've ever seen it, with Louis C.K. What did I just watch? Oh, the second, what's that movie with, what are the movies with Denzel Washington?
Oh, The Equalizer.
That's an Equalizer. I saw the part two, and I thought that was really entertaining, and I want to go see part three in the theaters. But I've been so busy with this film, just finishing it, cutting a trailer, doing it's that I haven't really been watching much. And I guess what I watched didn't make a big impression on me because I can't think of anything.
Oh, that was really worth keeping you around for another segment. Thanks, Greg.
yes, but October 6th, that's important.
Yeah, there you go. That's important. I'll tell you what, I loved all the Equalizer films. I saw the first two. They are so, Denzel Washington's great. The stories are fun. They're so beautifully shot. and the cinematography is so right. great. The third one, I say, we were talking about this. I think a caller said he liked it. The third one is great. It's set in a small town in Italy. I did say there is a bit of a Roadhouse element to it. But other than that, I really liked it. The trilogy is phenomenal. So,
right.
And what was the other one you said you saw?
Louis.
Oh, Have Louis.
Have you seen Louis C.K.'s show?
I saw it when it was on before all the controversy. Like, then I just felt kind of creepy watching the... I don't think enough time has gone by yet.
It would be hysterically funny, and then it's serious, and then it's sad.
Yeah.
And then it's unlike any other show that I can...
I do remember that. Yeah, it was a good show, for sure. Did you see any of the summer blockbusters, Greg?
Yes.
What did you see?
I saw the Mission Impossible.
Great film.
Which I thought was good, but overlong.
Yeah, that's true.
Remind me what else is out. Like,
Well, I'll tell you what I saw. I saw Barbenheimer. I saw Barbie, Oppenheimer. Meg 2, I dragged my wife and kids to.
No.
That's laughably bad. I'm convinced it was written by AI. and then I saw Equalizer 3. Honestly, it was so bad. Like I say, if they would just get rid of the dialogue, the film would be watchable. That's how bad it was.
You know, and movie then, yeah, I absolutely loved was Violent Night.
Oh, that was great. I love that movie. Yeah, David Harbour.
Yeah, I thought that was a movie that should have been like Meg, you know. That was just a really entertaining film, I thought.
Really fun. Totally agree.
One of the last films that I can think of that I've seen in the theater.
Yeah, no, that was phenomenal. So if you guys want to get on the conversation, it's 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We want to know what you're watching and what you can recommend. You've been listening to us talk. Now tell us what you're watching, if you would. My guest has been Greg Liana. Greg, this has been so much fun. Thank you for taking the time out to talk about your many movies. Next time we'll have to tell some more fun Hollywood stories.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime, buddy. Thanks, Greg. So, Nate, we got to get more people. I know we got a few texts. What are people watching? Did I see a Succession text?
Oh yeah. We've been getting all sorts of political movies.
Let's go through them, man.
Coming through. We have, Enemy of the State with, Will Smith and Gene Hackman, all about how the government, spies. We have Once Upon a Time in America. From Dana in La Crosse. Once Upon a Time in America. Favorite weekend, rainy weekend movie is what Dana says. Once Upon a Time in America, which that's a good one. It's long. That's what long movies are really good for, is the nice rainy weekends that, you know.
I love that she labeled it or branded it like that. That's feel free to do that, folks. Great rainy day movie. Well done, Dana. Thank you.
We also have a political comedy, I suppose, and that would be My Fellow Americans, Jack Lemmon, Dan Aykroyd, all of them.
Yeah.
I don't believe I've seen that one, actually.
I have not either.
And that's from Jim from Appleton. Yeah, I don't believe I've seen that one, but Dan Aykroyd, he can either be really good or really bad, but I'm going to have to put that one on there. So
I think he's good. He does bad films, which I don't really typically put on the actor, but
I've seen nothing but trouble.
Yeah. That's right. Was that the Wisconsin movie?
Nothing but Trouble. No, that was the weird one that like he wrote it and John Candy is in it, and Demi Moore is in it. It's real bad. It's something.
That's great. Oh, Dana from La Crosse is a guy. Apologies, Dana.
Yes.
Thank you for pointing that out, though. But I don't know. I pictured the rainy day thing. I just felt like that was like a cup of tea. That was a great way to label that. So we're going to come back. We're going to do a quick break here, folks. It's Pete Schwab. I'm in for Dom and Crute. The Devil's Advocates are taking some time. They're advocating for themselves today and taking a day off. So good for them. Badger football at 6. Rob Thomas coming up to talk more movies and TV at 5:30. We want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Let us know what you're watching. We'll be right back. It's Pete Schwab and the Devil's Advocate.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.